It is the second hour of the second to last show of 2019. Welcome to the jungle. I am Jim Rome. The program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Coming up next segment, the head basketball coach at Michigan State, Tom Izzo. Coming up next hour, the BMF title holder, UFC welterweight, Jorge Masvidal. In the meantime, our phone lines are open because it is the second to last show of the year. It is the last regular show of the year. With that in mind, people are coming out of the woodworks. Woodwork. Jeff from Richmond, for instance. And every time he calls, there's a lot of reaction. Let me give a sampling really quickly. This email says, "Hey, Rome, the jungle is always better with Jeff in Richmond in it. He is the original Jim caller. Unwore his fake impersonator, Rick." Aaron in Iowa. "Hey, Jim, even I think Jeff in Richmond's call was too long. Signed, DA's smack-off call." Paul in Albany. "Wore my BMI being higher than my IQ." He doesn't like Jeff. "Hey, Jim, Jeff in Richmond made a daily call. If he did, I'd be okay with a daily call. He's always been my favorite. He still has got heat on that fastball. Wore Jeff in Richmond and the proliferation of skanks across the fruited plain." Do you have that anywhere, Alvin? Remember that? Jeff got fat on that back in the day.
"The real threat in the United States of America is not global warming. It's not skyrocketing oil and gas prices. It's not illegal immigration, Jim. It's the proliferation of skanks across the fruited plain. Think about it, Jim. Pamela Anderskank, Brittany Skank, 16-year-old Jamie Lynn Skank, Lindsay Lowe Skank, Jessica Sim Skank, and the worst of all, Jim."
With his proliferation of skanks across the fruited plains. That goes all the way back to 08.
"Paris Hill Skank."
Remember when Paris Hill Skank was a thing? He also warred 2020 being the biggest and best year ever for the Rat Fam. How can that be? Doesn't exist. James in Rocklin. "This guy's going the other way. Jim, can we please, Jim, put a moratorium on Rick's dad calling in? Jim. Thanks, Jim. Sincerely, all clones, Jim." Dave in Chicago. Anti-Jeff. This guy loves him. "Jim, thanks for taking my pal Jeff in Richmond's call. Excellent call and show today. Best regards, Bob Costas."
"One of our stops was Richmond, but it was a Sunday. And if you have his number or any information on him, I couldn't get in touch with your office. And it probably would have been ill-advised for me to contact Jeff in Richmond and let him know that I was anywhere near his environs or area code. But the notion of Jeff in Richmond was actually going through my mind as we were walking through the lovely University of Richmond campus."
So should I interpret this to mean that you did not spend time at his 10-acre country estate admiring all of his sleds, his 18-inch pipes, his Armani gear, and his rocket wife?
"All of the above, sad as it is, would be true. I came in contact with none of it."
Bob Costas joining
including
us.
"His rocket wife, I'd like to stipulate."
Bob Costas not only knows Jeff in Richmond, knows of Jeff in Richmond, he knows about all those things that make Jeff in Richmond, Jeff in Richmond. The country estate, the luxury sleds, the 18-inch pipes, the Armani suit, the, quote, rocket wife. One thing for Jeff to have all those things, entirely another for a Hall of Famer like Bob Costas to know that Jeff has all those things, and then to be disappointed that he was not able to experience those things with Jeff. And even better, that Bob was walking the campus in Richmond, and the thing that went through his head was, "Jeff, I wonder where Jeff is. I wonder what my guy Jeff in Richmond's up to." They're boys, or they were back in the day. Jeff in Richmond, already getting racked. Anybody else want to come in? Second to last show of the year. You're not coming in tomorrow. We don't have time for phone calls tomorrow. We have time for them right now. 1-800-636-8686. All right, speaking of tomorrow, it is our annual Year in Review program. I always look forward to that program. In the meantime, I want to be present. I want to live in the moment. But I got to admit, as locked in as I am for this show right now, I am thinking about tomorrow. I can't wait to bring you the best moments from the jungle and sports from all of 2019 tomorrow. Now, I know this particular program ranks right up there with the smack off for a lot of you. I will remind you once again tomorrow, but get ready to tweet the show tomorrow by using the hashtag RomeYIR. That's hashtag RomeYIR. No need to tag a year on that. Just roll with hashtag RomeYIR. You're in review. Here's a quick peek behind the curtain. For tomorrow, we have 162 pieces of sound. 162. Last year, we ended up airing 102 audio clips. So you know there's no way we get to all 162. A lot of that is going to end up on the cutting room floor. But we have a two-year streak of getting from January to December, which is a good thing, and I plan on extending that to 3 years tomorrow. So if you're betting against us, you're doing so at your own demise. We will get to December tomorrow. I'm not going to have to pull the ripcord and bail out in July. We will finish this thing. We will get to December. But since I know we're not going to get to all that sound, why not clear some of it right now and give you a taste of what we're going to get or what you're going to have tomorrow? So let me simultaneously give you a preview while cutting that number 162 down. And since I know you love you, some you, let me reset some clone-only sound starting in February. A lot of regular callers to the program plant their flags in certain corners and their own space. Raider Mike, for instance, he is the king of the silver and black. Bob in Calgary, for better or for worse, and definitely for worse, is the SJP guy. Slash in Brentwood owns the Rockingham real estate. And for some reason, Jeff in SoCal has decided that this is where he wants to live.
Rome, I don't want to talk about the trade deadline or whose mom played basketball back in the day. I want to talk to you today about the most important sporting event that happened this weekend. Jim, with 9:36 left in the first quarter in the Vanderbilt versus Tennessee women's college basketball game, a big rivalry, by the way, history was made in the span of 19 seconds. Five missed layups, two blocks by the rim, two blocks by the bottom of the backboard. And then they panned the crowd, and of course it's a handful of women sipping 72-ounce diet sodas who seem to have that I need to speak to your manager haircut.
No. You don't like that color.
I don't like that color. Not a very good.
Hey Jeff. Life choices, Jeff. Resolve to make better ones. In 2020, do better. Do better, Jeff. That was February. Let's go to March. If weird is good, then Jeff in Southfield is incredible. Because there is nothing more weird than a take on American cheese.
The forensic evidence was undeniable, Jim. Wisconsin is fat. But what do you expect from a state that has given up literature, science, and the arts for cheese production, cheese consumption, and cheese-related fashion? And the worst kind of cheese, too. Jim, I'm proud to be an American, but I'm not proud of that cheap crap we call American cheese. Not only is American cheese not worthy of having its slices individually wrapped, its outer wrap should be a clown suit. It's the bozo of cheeses. The number of Europeans whose vacation to America includes wanting the freshest sample of our American cheese is none. When the other cheeses have a party, American cheese sits home uninvited and eats a whole pack of itself from depression.
It's incredible. When the other cheeses have a party, American cheese sits at home and eats a whole pack of itself out of depression. The only thing more weird than that take is the fact that he called back so soon after. Or at least I thought it was him calling back so soon thereafter.
Braddock Corona, you You are a cow, a soft, dumb, doe-eyed cow, standing in a field waiting for the butcher to come out to chop you with a tri-tip so Big Daddy Beaks can throw you on the barbecue and smoke you for about 4.5 hours with some cherry wood. Third and Darryl Roman, left, you are the sketchiest, twitchiest individual in the jungle. You are like a sketchy little access deer poking his head up above the tree line so you can see if there are any predators. Well, there are predators, Laffy Taffy. There are. So run on home. And finally, Darryl Roman, I leave you with these words of wisdom. Don't ever, ever, ever leave your girlfriend alone with Motley Crue. They will have sex with her.
Don't ever leave your girlfriend alone with Motley Crue. They will have sex with her. It's not a bad impression. Now, me, I'm going to take the original Jeff over the fake Jeff every single time, but that's not bad. That's not bad at all. Why don't we jump ahead all the way to August? The only thing worse than somebody coming on this show and telling a lame joke and getting run is somebody coming on this show a second time, telling the same lame joke, thinking that I don't remember it, and getting run again. This actually happened in August, courtesy of resident tryhard Jason in Harrisburg.
That's new information on the whole Bob Kraft old junk video. I heard that the release of the video is being held up in the courts, but not for the reason you think, Jim. If you recall, I told you in my last update that the DA's office and an adult film outfit were trying to release it in theaters and make as much money as possible. But that release has been held up because Michael Crichton, who's the creator of Jurassic Park, has filed a copyright violation lawsuit. The defendants in the case said that the lawsuit's ridiculous because where the Jurassic Park logo is the entire skeleton of a Tyrannosaurus Rex, the Jurassic Pork logo consists of only one old bone.
I would tell Jason to get some new material, you don't like that cop, but he's probably not listening because he's way too busy telling a Jurassic Pork joke to his coworkers right now. All right, so that's a little taste of what we have for you tomorrow. 3 hours of that tomorrow. Make sure you make a note of that. Check it out. In the meantime, you want to get in today because you're not getting in tomorrow. And I will get from January to December. You have my word. When we come back, Michigan State head basketball coach Tom Izzo joins us. Fellas, how many of you are guilty of using your wife or your girlfriend's shampoo? I would imagine quite a few. Have you considered the importance of using a product designed for your hair, men's hair? After all, your hair is different. Dove Men Plus Care has created a hair care range designed to fortify men's hair and give it the care it needs to stay strong and healthy. So do your family and your hair a big favor. Get your own products. Dove Men Plus Care for stronger, more resilient hair, and it's available at Walmart.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Smashing some matcha. Part of my second hour routine. What's up? Welcome back. If you're on hold, you want to stay there. Don't forget, coming up in hour number three, BMF title holder Jorge Masvidal, UFC welterweight. But as promised, we are talking college basketball right now. I'm joined by the head coach at Michigan State. Recipient of 8 National Coach of the Year awards. Led Michigan State to a national championship. 8 Final Fours. 9 regular season Big Ten titles, 6 Big Ten tournament titles, 22 straight NCAA tournaments. He is a member of the Basketball Hall of Fame. Michigan State is 8-3. They're 2-0 in conference play. They're number 15 in the AP poll. They are hosting Eastern Michigan on Saturday night. My guest is Tom Izzo. Tom, it's great to have you back. How are you?
Well, Jim, it's great to be back. I hope things are going well for you.
Things are going great for me, Tom. Good to hear your voice. Nice to have you. Let me start right here, Tom. I had Leonard Hamilton on the program yesterday, and we started off by talking about how he and his team dropped a video of them singing Silent Night. And I don't want to make this an arms race or anything, but earlier this week, your team's official Twitter account posted a video of you and the team doing Jingle Bells at the Tom Izzo Christmas show. You killed it on the accordion. What do you make of how your guys did with their vocals?
Well, I did kill it on the accordion, and kill it, not in a good term, but the only thing I was better than are my guys' voices. How's that? I think I used them to drown my bad play out, but, you know, we had some fun, Jim. It's been, a little bit of a stressful month for us with things, and yet we're coming back out of it, and it was kind of good to get everybody there laughing and singing, and And yet, you know, then we had to go on and play Northwestern and found a way to win. It's been a strange year in the Big Ten. We're the only team that's got a road win now the first, 14 games. So a lot of season left, though, when you play 20 games. And we're kind of trying to reinvent ourselves a little bit and, you know, making some progress.
We're talking to Tom Izzo. All right, so what about that win over Northwestern? That was last night. Maybe you had a few more turnovers than you would have liked, but you did dominate in the rebounding department. How pleased were you with how your guys hit the glass, and how big of a role did that play in coming home with a win?
Well, it played a big role. You know, we had a 14-point lead, and you're right, we did turn the ball over too much in the last – hell, we had a 12-point lead in the last 2.5 minutes, and but I really like Northwestern. They got a good young team, brand new facility. It was nice to see. But I thought our rebounding then leads to our fast break, and I do think we're running the ball as good as we have in 20 years. So that's a positive. I, you know, I've got a hell of a point guard in Cassius Winston, who kind of is the straw that stirs the drink. And if he gets in the open court, you know, he's got a lot of ability to find a lot of people, and I think that's what makes rebounding important, is it leads to our good break. What hurt us last night is 16 turnovers that they got 24 points, so they were kind of turnovers for touchdowns where they went down and either shot a quick three or got a layup, and we've got to clean that up, as you do in all sports if you're going to be successful.
We're talking to Michigan State head basketball coach Tom Izzo. Tom, you mentioned Cassius. I'm going to ask you about him in 1 minute. I do want to ask you about this piece Armin Katayan did recently, a great video piece of you a few weeks back. And to me, the footage from practice is amazing. You're running all over the place. You're firing guys up. It seems like the passion has never been higher. I mean, watching you got me fired up. It seems to me you're more motivated and more passionate than ever before. Does it feel that way to you?
Well, you know, I think right now our team has needed a little something. You know, as you say, we've gone through a little bit of a tough time with Cash and his family. And I think, you know, everybody tells me you got to try to get back to normalcy, which is not easy to do. And my leader on the floor is him, and it was difficult for him. So I think I had to step in a little bit. But I do feel good. You know, I enjoy what I do. I mean, I think we've got some question marks in college basketball right now, but I still love what I do, and I still I think you have to have passion and energy. And speaking of that, you know, when I watch you or listen to you, you haven't changed much either, so maybe we're cut out of the same cloth.
I appreciate you saying that. I hope that's true. I hope that's true. Tom Izzo joining us. You know, we got a battle. We got a battle. We have to appreciate it. We have to respect the process and keep going to work. You know, in terms of Cassius, you've had to deal with the passing of Zachary Winston, the younger brother of Cassius. Zach was playing college ball, and a lot of guys on your team knew him. For those who did not know him, what kind of an impact did he have on Cassius and everybody around him?
Well, you know, it's, when you say that they were closer than close, you know, you're always supposed to be close with your brothers. But he had two brothers, one a freshman in college, one a sophomore, you know, 2 years younger than him. And they went to a place, Albion, which is about 45 minutes from here. They were here all summer. So it wasn't just Cash's brother. It was my player's friend, you know, and great kid, great student. Just couldn't fight the demons. But it's been a different something I guess I haven't faced before. It's uncharted waters, and you know, when you deal with suicide, it's different than an accident, and because the blame process comes in, and you know, and between him and his mother, there's a lot of blaming going on. I mean, amongst themselves, you know, Cassius, I should have done more. His mother, I should have done more, and that's been hard for Cash, you know. But he's starting to realize that some things you don't have control over, and that's what I'm trying to help him get through. But he's been good statistically in a lot of ways, but he hasn't been himself, and he's getting better. And last night I even saw a few smiles, so that means we're heading in the right direction.
We're talking to Tom Izzo, the head basketball coach, Michigan State. You know, Tom, you've had some really special players in your time there, both in terms of ability and in terms of leadership. I could run down that list. Guys like Mateen, Draymond, Tum Tum. We'd be here all day listing guys. I know Cassius has a spot on that list as well. Aside from his National Player of the Year ability, what is it about him and his wisdom that makes him so unique, so special?
Well, you know, you just named a few guys, and, you know, Magic went here, of course, and Draymond and Mateen, but Cassius has that same ability, has that sixth sense to just make other players around him better. What makes him different than Mateen or Draymond or even Magic, believe it or not, is he can really score the ball. I mean, he can really shoot it. He's a point guard that can score it, you know, a little bit like a Scott Skiles was. And yet he's so unselfish that he's just endearing to his teammates. I mean, he really would rather pass it than shoot it. And so that makes him so valuable to our team because we need his scoring, but people feed off him. And when he's right, we're right. When he's not, it's an effect on us. So I think that's what makes him with Mateen. And as you say, you know, Draymond was those guys that have the ability, the basketball intelligence. Everybody, Cassius has very good academic intelligence, but his basketball intelligence is off the charts.
Tom Izzo joining us. You know, you mentioned Draymond. Speaking of Draymond, I had Golden State GM Bob Myers on the show the day before he and a number of other members of the Warriors organization and team came to your building for the Draymond Green jersey retirement. What was that night like for you, and what does Draymond mean to you?
Well, the night was as strange as it could be, you know, beforehand, Bob, and it was amazing how many people the Warriors brought out. And of course, we played Duke, and we played poorly. Give Duke credit; they played well, but it still was a night that you just kind of look back, and there's certain people, you know, Mateen was the first one, and Draymond was kind of in the middle that really carry my career. You know, coaches are only as good as the players they coach, And for Draymond, you know, he went from a guy coach to a friend, and friends can tell friends whatever they want, you know. And I say there's times Draymond tells me what he thinks of me, and there's times I tell him what I think of him. But there's a lot of love there, and that night was special. And he was it was a tear-jerking night for him to realize his number will be in the rafters for the rest of time. And I think I was amazed what all he's accomplished, that it meant as much to him as it did, and yet it made me feel good that it did mean that much.
We're talking to Tom Izzo. I appreciate those thoughts. You know, there might be more gifted basketball players than Draymond. Maybe even you've had more gifted players than Draymond, but there aren't many better than Draymond. How do you explain what makes him so special?
Well, it was easy for me, you know, when people came knocking at the door to ask about him, you know, and everybody said he's too short, he's too fat, he's too this, he's too that, he doesn't shoot it well enough. And I kind of agreed with 90% of them. And then I said at the end, but he does one thing that is important to you. He wins. You know, he just knows how to win. He's the toughest, most unselfish winner, you know. And I'm sure Bob told you, and you know, they got a lot of great players on that team, but he's kind of the anchor. He's kind of the guy that he can stir a lot of things a lot of ways, but believe me, as good as some of those players are, I don't think they win three championships without him, because he just could make the big defensive play, the great screen. He was the ultimate dirt guy. You know, he did all the things that were down and dirty in there that freed people up, that got a big rebound, that made a great assist. Maybe the things that the analytics guys don't look at as much, because is he hitting a three or scoring a lot of points? But the guys that, you know, are coming off those screens like Steph, he just has a way of moving them. And he's a valuable, valuable guy, and one I use every day here.
Tom Izzo, my guest. Let me so quickly follow you up on that as a final thought. Like in football, Tom, yesterday was National Signing Day. It can be easy to get caught up in the rankings. You've talked about recruiting OKGs, our kind of guys. What is an OKG for MSU?
You know what, Jim? One thing I love about your show for all the years I've watched is you do your homework. Because yeah. Anybody could come up with the OKG means you did your homework. You know, our kind of guy just means he doesn't have to be, you know, the McDonald's All-American or the best. He's got to be a guy that has some toughness. But maybe more important than anything, you know, wants to win. You know, we're in a day and age, especially in basketball, where personal agendas take over. And you got guys that want to win. You know, I look at Magic. I really feel LeBron's that way. You know, there's certain guys. Draymond is still one of the best at it. And I'm looking for guys that want to win, that want to be part of a program that has a family base and get along and appreciate the guys that built it before him. But the toughness thing is just big for me. You know, I say you can win a lot of games with certain players, but championships are won with tough people. And both mentally and physically, and that's kind of what we look for.
Tom Izzo, head basketball coach, Michigan State, led them to a national championship, 8 Final Fours, 9 regular season Big Ten titles. They're 8-3, they're 2-0, they're number 15 in the AP poll. Next up, they are hosting Eastern Michigan on Saturday. My man, Tom, so good to get caught up. I appreciate you, I appreciate that. Merry Christmas, and great to have you back in the jungle.
Well, happy holiday to you, Jim, and thanks a lot. Don't forget about me. Have me on again. I'll see you later.
You got it. Tom Izzo, never forget about you. Tom Izzo, Michigan State head coach. What a great conversation. Good to have him back. All right, so we are halfway through it. They are 8-3, 2-0, number 15. They're at home Saturday against Eastern Michigan. Glad to get caught up with him. 1-800-636-8686. Still ahead. I previewed the year in review tomorrow. It's going to be a great day. That was a great segment, and I've got 3 hours of that. 9 segments of that tomorrow. Next hour, UFC welterweight and BMF title holder, Jorge Masvidal. Kevin Garnett shows up and starts to do and say Kevin Garnett things. I want to have that conversation too. Had an amazing conversation yesterday with Andrew Hawkins as part of Podcast 109 of the Jim Rohn Podcast. Don't listen to it now, but make sure you find time and listen after the program or during the break. I'll give you a preview of that too. Keep coming. Halfway through the second to last show of the year and the last regular show of the year, call me up. Here is your sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rohn Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Next time you want a protein snack, ditch the drinks and the bars. Grab a bag of Old Trapper beef jerky instead. Tender, tasty, real beef. It's going to rock your craving for a snack, which satisfies. Ask for it by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what is your beef? It is the last show before the last show. And we're halfway through the last show before the last show. So if you have some final thoughts for the year 2019, hit us up. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, we are still bumping in your Christmas cards. Your clones look great. There he is. John in New York shopped himself into a picture with me where I'm sitting on my throne, and there he is. He's got my back. Love that fireplace. Look at that. The fireside chat. It's the wintertime. It's the fall. It's nice. My studio is like 30 degrees. I'm so glad to have that fire. Dear Rome Slice, it's the last show of 2019. I know you said you wanted to wrap it up before the year in review. I'm sorry. I'm not familiar with that phrase. Fertily yours, Lil Alvy.
Dude.
Geoff and Lincoln. War Hawk throwing out his back after lifting Ike off the ground because he fell off the toilet again.
It's lit!
Great, Geoff. Rubber smack. Hey, Jim. Historic day yesterday. Removing the president from his position of power is never an easy decision. However, it must be done to slow the roll of a leader who causes splits. Go ahead and ding that, Alvin. The roll of a leader who causes splits cannot stay in his lane and is continually in the gutter. Courageously yours, Ike Ritz Bowling Buddies, impeaching him as team captain. Signed, Den Lesks, Jungle Political Analyst. War Flight Deck, running for office as a Dome-ocratic Congress Melon. Den Lesks. Speaking of the Democratic Congress Melon, I said to the guy, you coming in on Friday? I know it's the walk-off day, and a lot of times the staff travels. He said, no, boss, I cleared it already with KTK. I'm not coming in. I'm going to work remotely. You mean like you do every other day? I said, come on, man. Are you coming in Thursday? Nope. I'm like, bro, have you quit and not just told me?
Let's turn and burn.
Very disappointed in you, flight deck. Come on, man. Get your ass up in here. We're all here. That dude's probably working right now from the Bahamas or something. I wouldn't even know it. Hey, Jim. I just want to wish you, your family, and the XR4TI a Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, clones. Prayers up to Trapper. War a safe and happy holiday for all. War Lady Clones, Bella B.
War Lady Clones.
In Calgary.
I love when Utah hockey.
And one more here. Romy, great calls by Jeff in Richmond and Raider Mike. You're right, a smack off did just break out. For the elderly, let's get Mona in here to clown these fools. Signed, Geoff and Lincoln. Mona in Knoxville. Good morning, Mona. How are you?
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. I'm calling from my emergency room, and I'm just taking in all these patients like Brad and Corona. He thought his Viagra was a suppository. So instead of his thing getting larger, his nose got larger, but that's all. And he needs to put down his mom's copy of 50 Shades of Grey and pull his pants up and do something productive in the world, like chew a box of razor blades so he would swallow his own fluids for a change.
I mean, seriously. You don't like that. That happened? Not a very good call. You want to talk about the dirtiest player in the game? That may, in fact, be the filthiest call I have ever taken from anybody on this show. Mona. And had I not run her, who knows what else she had in store? What else was she going to say? I'd love to know. And I mentioned, because it is the last show before the last show, it's bringing quite a few out. Like this guy, Broadway Vic. Vic in NoCal. What's going on, Vic? What's up?
Tell me something, Rome. Are you happy with these modern clones? Or do you need more? Are you searching for the Vic and Oak? I'm calling because we're tired of hearing crappy phone calls from Rick and from that other idiot, Matt in Gardena.
That's right, Matt. And Rick, I mean, this is what happens when I step away from the jungle for a few weeks, man. It gets taken over by some off-brand version of Israel in L.A. and a Goo Goo Dolls-consuming Jeff in Richmond impersonator. Hey, Rick, nobody likes your calls, man. We're all baffled as to why Rome does. I mean, this is like when you have a son who starts doing the whole goth thing, you know, painting his face and dressing in black and listening to Marilyn Manson. And there's not much you can do except just wait around for Junior to grow out of that phase. And that's basically what the whole jungle is doing right now, man. We're waiting for JR to grow out of his Rick and Buffalo phase. It's taking longer than we thought. And listen, while I'm on the topic, Rome, of people from Buffalo that are riding a little too high for their britches, let's talk about those Buffalo Bills, all right? I know the Bills and their so-called mafia of folding table idiots have their hopes up for this big showdown against the Patriots, but you're going to lose, Buffalo. And it's not that the Patriots are really good, because they're not even really that good this year, but it's because that's what Buffalo always does, lose. Okay? Losing is built into that fabric of that dump of a city, man. And it's all because of the people who live there. Okay, look, I'm not saying people in Buffalo are all stupid and low IQ or anything, but come on, I mean, that idiot Rick actually qualifies to be a teacher in that city, man. What does that tell you? And get this, Rome, get this, okay? I'll put it another way for you. When it came time for the city of Buffalo to name their highest institution of academic learning, the best these geniuses could come up with was to call it the University at Buffalo, okay? I mean, I can only imagine how that meeting went down, you know? All of the village elders, you know, the town brain trust, they got together for a brainstorming session, a meeting of the minds, and they're all like, all right, guys, our little town is big enough now. We've been growing. I think it's time we set up a university here, but what are we going to call it? Resnick University? Russert College? Oh, wait, I know. Why don't we just call it the University at Buffalo? And then get this. That's not all, folks. For our mascot, we can call ourselves the Buffaloes. The University at Buffalo, Buffaloes. I mean, you just can't make this up, man. Hey, Buffalo, are you for real? Where are you at, Buffalo? Anyway, Rome, that's it for me, brother. I want to wish the best for everyone, including Buffalo. I'd say Merry Christmas, but that would probably make me a racist, so I'll just say Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Brad in Corona is a bitch. La, la, la.
Broadway Vic in NoCal. I'll save that call. Go ahead and rack it. Good to see some jungle beef on the way out the door in 2019. Bill's Mafia, are you going to take that? I'm not going to defend you. You can defend yourself on this one. Are you going to take that? That guy just took a bat to you. He just took a 2x4 to you. Bill's Mafia, Buffalo, Rick, any of you, are you going to take that? And he ends the call with Feliz Navidad. Brad's a little bitch. Watch your head there, Hawk. So Jeff in Richmond has been in. Vic in NoCal has been in. Raider Mike has been in. Who else is going to make it in on the last show before the last show? Liz in Fall City tweets, 2020 will be the year Mona dethrones the BIC. Don't at me, she writes. Can I tell you something about Mona? She hasn't called in quite some time. Mona already is the champ. Mona has got the dirtiest mind and the biggest potty mouth in the history of this program. Like, no dude has even gone there. We have more of Mona in our year in review, and it's every bit as nasty and dirty and filthy as what you just heard. So there's more where that came from. I mean, I'm not saying she's got the dirtiest mind and the biggest potty mouth of any lady clone we've ever had. I'm saying she's got the dirtiest mind and the biggest potty mouth of any listener we've ever had. Chris in KC tweets, Vic kind of turned me on with that crooning. All right. Whatever. Let's get to the phones quickly. Beaks. In Studio City, 818 for life. My man, we're up against it, Beaks. What's going on?
Merry Christmas, Jim. I just want to dedicate this call to Randall. Hey, so Jeff, here's some analysis for you. You stole at least five WWE promos in that call as usual. I'm surprised you didn't yank any from Chris Jericho or Cody Rhodes from AEW, you stupid idiot. Just know when you're cruising around that old jalopy this holiday, the current jacuzzi champ will be enjoying expensive bottles of the bubbly, which I know you can't afford, you lard-ass phony. And yo, B.I.C., I owe you one, too, from the weight loss blast a while back. The one thing that wasn't recapped at Smack Off 25 at the Hennessy party was Brad showing up with an entire crew of lackeys. Dude, this ain't Entourage, Bradley. You showed up like Vinny Chase with Turtle Drama, Eric, Billy Walsh, and even Ari Gold. What's next, man? Is your 6'7" ass and Nooch going to lead the rest of the fellowship to Mortar and drop the one ring off into the lava? And then, in all serious, Jim, 2019 has been really special to me. I've made some really good friends. Started with Nooch come down in April, doing his jacuzzi or scope for my jacuzzi. So meeting Silk Randall and the crew in Laguna, which led to that picture. And then infamous month of cakes and studio chinny smack. And then Rick and Caleb coming down. With
my man, Merry Christmas. Now you're done. I just ran out of time, Beaks. I didn't break you off because of anything you said. We just ran out of time. Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. Anybody else want in? That's what I'm talking about. And not just coming in saying, oh, what a great show, Happy Holidays. People are coming in looking for a piece of other people, which I like. See you next hour.